Hello and welcome to your Post Daily News Update for Friday, November the 26th. I am John Pollock alongside Wei Ting. Happy Black Friday.
Happy Black Friday, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I would be doing better, though, if I had a toque or a t-shirt or any number of accessories. I'm just looking for that 20% off sale that is eluding my life. And that would take today to another level. Do you have any answers?
Well, I think you're about to have an excellent day, John, because we have a 20% off sale right now. Store.postwrestling.com, everybody. Black Friday, everything is on sale, including hats, t-shirts from Post Wrestling.
The Four Pillars shirt, the famous Post Four Pillars shirt that WH Park has infiltrated the wrestling media with.
Absolutely. The wrestling adventure shirt from Martin Bushby and Andrew Thompson. Nate Milton's The Rocky Maivia Picture Show shirt. All items in the store are 20% off with code word eggs.
Eggs. Take a deep breath before you type it in. Eggs. And 20% off will give you the key to happiness at store.postwrestling.com. Going on all weekend long. So stop by, check out, and order everything. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Yeah, doing pretty well, man. How are you?
I got some snow today. Light, but snow nonetheless.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's time to get used to adding a few extra minutes to your start every day to clear off snow from your windows. It's a lot of fun. It's great being Canadian.
Yep. This is the stuff everybody just craves from our daily news updates. But we're going to get into a few items here. A reminder, we will be back tonight at 11:15 Eastern for all members at postwrestlingcafe.com with Rewind to SmackDown. We will be reviewing SmackDown from the Greensboro Coliseum in North Carolina, as well as the taped edition of Rampage from Chicago on Wednesday night. And an interesting trivia note, Wei, is that WWE is at the Greensboro Coliseum on the anniversary of a very significant date in the WWF Jim Crockett Promotions war, because in 1987, on this date, it was when Jim Crockett Promotions took Starrcade out of Greensboro and went to Chicago, and the WWF staged its first Survivor Series event to go against it the same day. And the cable operators were thinking, man, this is awesome. We'll have an afternoon card. We'll have an evening card. Perfect. Wasn't perfect for Vince McMahon, who said, if you carry Starrcade, you're not going to get WrestleMania next year. And everyone got scared, save for five carriers. It was pretty detrimental for the NWA / Jim Crockett Promotions. And it was a very significant day and a major power play by Vince McMahon and the World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, it's a very important day in history. And, you know, maybe only one of the earlier examples of the type of philosophy Vince McMahon has when it comes to competition, and how interesting that, you know, years later he finds himself I don't even know if you really called it today war, but you know, at least an attempt to stamp out the competition. So
yeah, I'll tell you one thing. Speaking about Vince McMahon's philosophy, has been to acknowledge creations that were not his. And we saw for years the talk of a War Games, and it took like Paul Levesque to install that on NXT. The fact that it's the day after Thanksgiving, you're in Greensboro, we've seen the effect Halloween Havoc has had on television numbers, like the name draws. Tonight should have been promoted as Starrcade on Fox.
I think that would have been great. Now,
would have been great for the local market, and we have the evidence from Halloween Havoc that it means something to the audience for a nostalgic name that you could have built up tonight as it's something above and beyond Friday Night SmackDown.
Yeah. I'm, you know, outside of like the Great American Bash, has Vince taken some creation that hasn't been his to brand one of his shows with?
They did the Great American Bash. They did that
like a main roster show.
But then they cut it down to just the Bash.
Sure, right. Yeah, I mean, I personally feel like there might still be a bit of that hang up of not wanting to do it. They did do the Starrcade
the live events. Yeah, they did the house shows for several years.
Yeah, and then beyond that, why did they never use it for TV? Then
I don't know, but I think tonight, just given where you are, it's like it's a little hook that I think NXT has proven that people will tune in just based on the name of it all. Halloween Havoc has shown that. So anyway, That's coming up tonight. We'll go over the matches at the end. But we start off with the news following the closing sign-off by Jim Ross on Dynamite Wednesday night that I will see you all in the very near future. And in fact, Jim Ross confirming on Thursday that he will be missing several weeks of programming because he is undergoing radiation treatment for his skin cancer beginning on Monday. He's going to go through 22 days of radiation treatment. So he is going to be off Dynamite for the foreseeable future. He is hoping to be back for the December 29th episode, the final show of the year from Daly's Place in Jacksonville, Florida. Obviously, that's going to be a wait and see to based off of what he has to undergo. So there you have it. No news on what the broadcast team will consist of, but one thing we have seen is that it is a fairly deep bench that they have at AEW when it comes to people that they can put into that role. And I would assume, just looking at things, Way, that it would probably be Excalibur as the lead, and then you potentially, they tend to go away from the two-man team. They seem to like three or more on the desk at AEW.
I could expect Taz, you know, to fill in for the role, or maybe another wrestler that they want to put up there that has been, you know, like, for me, I think JR's commentary, like, has been definitely hit or miss, but what he brings in terms of star power and just a familiar voice for longtime fans, I think is very invaluable. So maybe they would opt more for, you know, that bigger presence to be on the announced team throughout the shows. We'll find out tonight.
The Young Bucks have reportedly signed new deals with AEW. This was reported in the Wrestling Observer newsletter that came out today and states that they are signed with AEW with these new deals through at least 2026. So I don't know if anyone was really looking at the Young Bucks as potentially leaving the company, but nonetheless, this shores them up for many, many years to come. And what's crazy about that is that by the time we get to 2026, I believe that Nick Jackson will still only be like 37, roughly, at that time.
That is unbelievable. Not a bad spot to be in this industry. I mean, considering all they've done, for the fact that he's only 32 at the moment is really insane. But yeah, I don't think it's a shock to anybody. Maybe the only interesting part of this is that now we kind of have a term for some of these agreements, and we would probably expect the same for some of the other executives.
We're getting to that cycle where it's like all the initial deals are going to be coming due at varying points. And that is where decisions are going to be made. Tony Khan has really hung his hat on the fact he has not had to do mass layoffs. But when certain deals come due, is that going to play into the equation of your numbers game and some that might not get offered renewals and others that will? That will be an interesting part of all this.
Yeah, and in particular with these two or any of the executives, I'm really curious to know, and I don't know if we'll ever find this out, but I am at least curious to know if the terms of the contract are any different from when they initially signed to what it is today, because obviously back then, I don't know if they knew what they were going to be doing. You know, what exactly did this executive producer role, or sorry, executive vice president role entail? And what does it entail now? And what will it entail for the next 5 years?
And when that deal was signed, Way, you didn't have the television renewal that you got in January of last year. Mm-hmm. And they've been a big part of it. Like, I would certainly be ones that, you know, would, I think you could make a strong argument for a significant increase for the main players that have got you to this point that have and are going to be key contributors when it comes to this next round of negotiations over the next few years.
Right. And are the Bucks, you know, like looking at projections about what the Premier League is gaining right now in terms of like contracts? Are they making their own predictions about like how much the AEW will be making in terms of TV money in a few years? I would hope so. I would hope so that they would know that what their worth is and are doing that sort of research. But yeah, I would expect their renewals to be pretty healthy.
It would be. It's one thing that doesn't always get looked back on, but I mean, it was noted at the time that when this was getting up off the ground, when in theory the Bucks had, I think, a lot of leverage to get this thing going, especially when you didn't have a CM Punk on board. The Bucks were very, very key to Tony Khan's vision, but none of the talent that were involved in that got any kind of stake in the company. It's like they are contracted performers, but they don't have any kind of ownership stake. But that to me was that was like a very interesting note at the time.
Yeah. Hey, just a note. Thank you to Jake in the chat room right now. And thank you to everybody for joining us. But Jake reminds us that tonight's Rampage is taped. So on commentary will be Excalibur, Taz, Ricky Starks, and Chris Jericho, as the show is taped on Wednesday. So we will find out about the new team, I suppose, next Wednesday.
Moving on, let's talk a little bit about GCW, because Eddie Kingston and the Briscoes have been added to the Hammerstein Ballroom show on January 23rd. And as of this morning, the show is sold out. So they have scaled the venue for just over 2,000 people to be able to attend. So it will be the most attended show for a pro wrestling event because of how they've been able to scale the building. And this is so we have cleared the live event barrier for this show, which doesn't come as a giant surprise to me. And now the question will be how well this can do on pay-per-view or on Fight. I think that this is going to threaten, if not be their most purchased show of all time.
I think so. I think simply the venue itself. I mean, if there's anything we can, I think, almost like guarantee to see from GCW is incredible promotion, incredible production, especially for a promotion of their size from people such as Giancarlo, who already created that wonderful teaser to tease the Hammerstein show.
Which already set the tone of how historic this show is for the company, which is a big mover when it comes to moving tickets, like shows that are going to be viewed as significant historically. And that promo piece was brilliant. And I think that told everybody, this is our biggest show we have ever run.
Completely. Yeah. So now you see this, you know, now we wait to see what the card is going to look like. And, you know, somebody like Eddie Kingston, I think, very much kind of fills the void that, you know, John Moxley left. Moxley, I think, probably unlikely to appear at the show. He is the current champion. What do you think is, what's a headliner, knowing, you know, so many of the pieces that are on the table right now?
Well, they've got Ricky Morton on this card.
Nick God Gage, knows how, Ricky Morton. All right,
I mean, sign it up. There you go. I mean, Nick Gage has to be in a very prominent spot. I think that really underscores the success, is the fact that they did all of this without any matches announced. They've had talent announcements, but no matches at all. And I think it's going to be the matches that's going to obviously affect the pay-per-view number. But I just see this being a very big moment for GCW. And I think that's one of the early stories to watch of 2022, is how we are viewing GCW a year from now and what this year provides them, where it's going to be a very different landscape after Final Battle and into the new year. And GCW finds himself in that interesting position where it's almost like they're at this point now where they're too big to be small, but still too small to be considered, you know, WWE or AEW level. But they're in this interesting spot that they have carved out for themselves. So I just find it a really fascinating story to watch. And this show is kind of putting a spotlight on that story.
Absolutely. Very exciting. It's a show we'll all be covering that week of.
Way, we go to our daily update on the Triple Mania Monterey card on December the 4th. The fifth and final man has been revealed for the vacant Mega Championship match. Bandido joins Bobby Fish, Jay Lethal, Samurai Del Sol, and El Hijo del Vikingo as they will battle for the vacant championship. Bandido's name had been talked about, expected for this role, and officially announced on Friday. Now, what is interesting about this, including in his promo, as he displays right there, he is the current ROH champion and will be so when this match takes place 1 week before his final battle match with Jonathan Gresham. So looking at this, I mean, that's Bandido right there letting you know about all of these upcoming dates he's got. But I would say, looking at this match on paper, I think that Vikingo and Bandido in this match, that's a very appealing interaction involving those two. How does this look on paper, T-Way, with all five involved here?
I think it looks good. Let me just say, you know, on the topic of promotion, I think they've done a great job of rolling these out every single day. It's, you know, it feels like it's been a full cycle of us, like, doing these shows and talking about this match once a day. And I think on paper, it's not like it's a match that, like, I, you know, is so incredible that, like, people that I'll be recommending like right off the bat, but nonetheless, like they're all incredibly solid to really great. And ultimately, I think what you're looking for is just like somebody to a great match that you can sell on paper where you can, at the end of it, crown Vikingo as your champion, like you're probably going to do anyway. So as long as you have the promise of like, you know, really good wrestling, and I think you have the bodies to do it, the interest will be there. Will the interest be there for a price tag, though? I'm not sure.
That's a question. It's $19.99 on Fight TV on that Saturday night. And I guess it's not too crowded of a weekend. They're going up against a UFC event, but it is not the not the most difficult weekend to draw from. But I guess this is going to be a bit of a litmus test of where is the general interest level for AAA outside of Mexico that has gone through a series of shows where you have had to rely on Lucha Blog to keep up with the major shows. And this is an event that I think it'll give you a sense of, is there enough people that are going to stop by and check in on AAA with what they've got? It's an attractive card on paper. I don't know if it's going to necessarily stop what everyone's doing on that Saturday night, but nonetheless, it's going to answer that question for
us. Can you explain to me what people would actually be paying for? Like, did you mention the split in the matches that are actually going to be broadcast?
Yeah, so Lucha Blog had reported that the top four matches of the eight are going to be part of the Fight TV broadcast. I did contact Fight TV and they got back to me and it didn't seem like they had that officially finalized yet. And we're going to follow up with me. So that's kind of where it stands. But as Lucha Blog had reported that the top four matches were going to air on Fight because the other matches have to air on Space in Mexico the week later. So that would be the thought process. So it could very well be a case where the entire card is not part of the Fight TV broadcast, but I guess that is still to be confirmed.
Okay, I guess we'll update people on that.
But it would include, obviously, the Mega Championship match and the Cain Velasquez match, as well as the Lucha Brothers match that would probably be the key attractions everyone is buying the show for.
Against FTR, yeah.
Against FTR, that is right. So SmackDown, we mentioned earlier, from Greensboro tonight, it sounds like the show is going to be built around creating the new challenger or the next challenger for Roman Reigns and what'll come out of that. Where do you think they go with Roman Reigns? It would seem like your options are Drew McIntyre and Jeff Hardy.
Drew or Jeff Hardy? Yeah, I mean, Drew almost feels a little bit early. That feels like it's the big one. But at the same time, it's not like he's got much going on right now. And I think you're pretty much on the cusp of, you got to build to day one. So,
today is day one of the build.
Does Jeff Hardy feel hot enough? You know, I guess he was a, you know,
the reactions for him have been tremendous, especially these last month or so. They've been very hot, even though I have not seen him pushed. It wasn't all that long ago that he was playing the geek that was scared off by Brock Lesnar backstage. But
right.
I mean, he did go right till the end against Rollins, which I guess is as much of an anointment as you're going to get for Jeff Hardy. I could see that. Like, it's a short-term program that you don't have to worry about the audience getting behind Jeff Hardy. Again, I don't know if it's really one that, we're going to build another cycle around somebody that is not our future, but is a star to the audience, at least.
Absolutely agreed. Yeah, so, yeah, maybe for day one, you do Jeff Hardy, and then you save Drew for the stadium show.
For the Rumble, yeah, which mm-hmm. is not that far off, either. The rest of the card, Drew McIntyre and Jeff Hardy will be teaming up against Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss. And then we've got Cesaro taking on Ridge Holland. How many of these matches do you think we see tonight?
I think at least two out of three.
Yeah. SmackDown typically has a better track record than Raw when it comes to announcing matches ahead of time that get delivered.
Yeah, sorry. Only two have been announced.
Two matches announced, yes.
Okay, I think we get all two. I think there's a good chance.
We will find out. But that is SmackDown in Greensboro, coming off the Survivor Series. Rampage, on the other hand, features Eddie Kingston against Daniel Garcia. Again, these were taped on Wednesday night. Britt Baker against Riho in a Black Friday deal match, where if Riho wins, she gets a future title shot against Baker. And then Orange Cassidy and Wheeler Yuta against Adam Cole and Bobby Fish. This feels like a kind of an average Rampage on paper.
Sure. Yeah.
Like good quality, but nothing that I think is going to upset your kind of viewership range that Rampage has settled into.
Yeah, again, you know, in terms of like must-see value, I don't know if this show has that, but I think in terms of quality, I very much look forward, as much as I might, you know, lament Chicago getting so much of the great shows coming up, I do think their crowds are fantastic, and I look forward to seeing another taped hour with in front of that crowd. I love watching Cole and Fish together. I think Eddie Kingston in that venue is going to be electric, and Britt Baker versus Riho, I think, will always be a solid match.
When you sit down to watch Rampage, do you go in having read the results and what happens, or do you just stay away from it and watch it fresh?
I watch it fresh.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I do the opposite, so I don't know if it really plays any effect, but that's just interesting to know going in.
It doesn't really. Like, I mean, I can pretty much predict all the winners for all these matches anyway, but it just adds a little bit of something.
What's what are you doing this weekend?
This weekend, I'm going to play chauffeur for my wife.
Oh.
As I take her to various appointments in the city. Not very exciting. What about you?
I've got to... Our laundry machine broke, so we are in the process of getting a new one, and it is... I want to take a sledgehammer to this...
How are you going to do that? Do you have movers?
We have an uncle that specializes in this that we are completely relying on, and
you're gonna be lifting this out of your basement.
So here is the process: we have to disconnect the current one, which was installed in such a way from these past owners of this home that it was just designed for. I can't wait till the people that buy this house have to replace this, because boy, is the joke on them. It's a disaster. So we have to get rid of it or disconnect on Saturday. Then the new one arrives next Saturday. So we've been without laundry for this period of time. And then install next weekend, which sounds like it is going to be the good luck.
Can't you find people to do all of that for you? Like, why do you have to do it?
It's not so much that I'm doing it. I mean... We have an electrician coming to do it and such, but it is...
Like, they'll help you install the machine?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so...
The problem is getting this machine there and whether this is going to fit into the old spot. And until we have the new machine, it's kind of trial and error.
Oh, okay. You can't measure?
I don't want to go into all of this. It's been an ordeal, that's all. If you want to volunteer, Wei... You're welcome to come over.
I absolutely do not.
But that's what's going on. So there you go. It's not the craziest weekend coming up. There is no MMA this weekend outside of this Triller Triad contraption that they have come up with that is going to be live fights followed by an entire set by Metallica.
Yeah.
Doing like a 75-minute Metallica set afterwards.
Okay.
They're guaranteed one buy from Eric Marcotte, but beyond that, good luck to Triller. All the best. It seems that what was the old saying from Robin Williams, that cocaine was God's way of saying you have too much money? Whatever the equivalent of that is, that's Triller.
And we're talking about it now, so why not? Sure.
They're getting no value out of you and I talking about this way. This is not an
Someone's going to want to pay for a boxing match / Metallica concert out
How
there.
How much does a Metallica concert cost for Triller in 2021? Like, that's got to be immediately we're operating in the red. There's no way that we can possibly spend enough or make back for a Metallica concert, even if they just play off of like Saint Anger.
I bet Lars is getting our percentage. You kidding me? Like, the way he negotiates, absolutely. I mean, you know, just even a ticket to a Metallica concert period is like in the hundreds, so I can't imagine what a pay-per-view broadcast would be, but
maybe one of the fighters will come out dressed as the Napster mouse.
A Napster mouse. Okay, interesting.
That's a very dated reference now, all of a sudden.
It's a 20-year-old reference. Yeah.
Oh, at least. I think 2001, I was already on to Kazaa.
Yep. LimeWire, you ever use that?
I used LimeWire, but I went from Napster to Kazaa. That seemed to be my big jump, and LimeWire, I never really engaged in. At that point, I was like, man, this is way too much work, and my conscience as well kind of got to me. I was like, there definitely is way too much benefit, and I'm giving nothing to all of this music that I'm listening to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
so on that note, to the feds or whoever's out there, that is all for us. Signing off. We're back tonight, 11:15 Eastern. The show could have been over 5 minutes ago, but hey, I want to know what Wei was doing this weekend, and we got the answer, and you got a peek into my world as well. So thank you. Subscribe to the channel. Like this. Leave us a nice comment or a bad one. That's fine too, but we like people that are at least constructive with their comments or uplifting.
That is correct, and I want to say hello to everybody in the chat room. It's a busy, busy, busy time, 1 o'clock in the afternoon on weekdays here. So hello to, I believe this is John Pine. What's up, John Pine? Brandon from New Jersey, of course. The man never sleeps. He's always always doing something. Jason Hankholm, how's it going? Ariel, 249. Colin Keith. Brad, the archivist, is in here as well. Professor Kevin, I believe, or maybe this is just Kevin. I can't really tell. Jamie Stalker,
Jamie Stalker. Man, that sounds like a new character on NXT.
Jamie Stalker. Yeah, maybe.
Be like Harlan's girlfriend or something.
Harlan's girlfriend?
You know, Harlan, Parker Boudreau character that's with Joe Gacy.
Oh, that guy. Yes.
Yeah, Harlan.
Okay, got it.
Okay, on that note, goodbye. We'll speak with you tonight. 11:15 Eastern for all patrons with Rewind to SmackDown. Have a wonderful weekend. And we're back here Monday, live, 1 p.m. Eastern. Bookmark it.